Why do you say that, Father? You aren't afraid, are you?
No. But I respect some of the superstitions of others. Often they are founded in fact.
Broadcasting from our Sanctum Sanctorum in Venice, California, this is the Sixth Sense Society. I'm your host, Krista, here with our producer, Michael. And today we welcome back to the show two of our favorite paranormal women. We have Holly Lindblom here in the studio of Holly's Haunts. And coming in from Zoom from Michigan, we have Jessica Krutel of Mystic Mitten Paranormals. And we're going to be basically catching up with their adventures. And then I have a couple of some questions for them that are paranormal related. But before we get started, Michael has a few announcements.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to our show. Lots of great stuff coming up, and it's all paranormal since it's the Halloween season, and we're kicking into full swing with that. We were helping our friends to decorate yesterday, so we're now feeling the Halloween spirit. So next week up, we have some new guests from the West Coast chapter of TAPS, those people that started the ghost hunting trend with the ghost hunting show on TV. So looking forward to that. That's going to be exciting. Get all the information on our website, sixthsensesociety.com, S-I-X-T-H, all spelled out. While you're there, if you can afford to, buy us a coffee on Ko-Fi. But most important thing, switch over to YouTube and click like and subscribe, and that really helps us tremendously. And you can also listen to us as a podcast. So if you're on Spotify or Pandora or whatever you have, and just search Sixth Sense Society, we'll pop right up. And if you're in the car, you can listen to our old episodes. We've got hundreds of them now for you guys to be entertained for. You could drive probably all the way across the country and never run out of episodes. So lots of fun. All right, so I'm going to kick it back to you guys since we have a ton of stuff to cover today. So take it away, Krista.
Great. Thank you, Michael. And welcome, Holly.
Hi. How are you guys doing? So exciting to be here.
Well,
again,
thank you for coming. And yes, welcome, Jessica.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure.
We always enjoy it, too. So both of you have been on several times. We've known you for many years now, and we really enjoy you coming on, and it's always really fun to see what you're up to. And you both have, I think, a photography connection too. Like, you, I know, Jessica, you do photography, and of course you do with the location. So you have other things in common.
Totally.
Of course. And I think Holly just started working on a haunted house as well too. So yeah, it's just really awesome to see
bartending.
How similar we are.
Oh, that's amazing. In an old building, like a 100-year-old building.
Ah,
yeah. I don't know if it's haunted yet, but we're going to investigate that. We're going to find out.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You might have some stories to share from that.
I think so. Yeah. Yes, definitely.
So this is our first official paranormal show for October. We like to do everything very paranormal in October. And so let's get started. And we'll start with you, Holly. And what have you been up to since we last talked to you?
I have been in a couple places that I've been trying to check out for years. One is the Phillips Mansion. That's in Pomona where I live. I was actually invited in. I didn't have to trespass, guys. So hooray for that. I was invited. I'm part of the Pomona Historical Society. So I got to go in there and walk all through. And the lady from the chamber took me all the way up to the third floor to the attic. And so I got to do all that. They're not claiming it's haunted. They're claiming the cemetery adjacent to it is haunted. So I'm going to be doing on the 31st in the cemetery with the Pomona Historical Society. So that'll be cool.
Oh.
Yeah. I've also went to the Captain's Anchorage in Big Bear last weekend. And that was just a very spur-of-the-minute adventure to go up the hill. Put the gas in the car, let's go. Well, it was so cold and we didn't have jackets. We were walking around photographing and the owner came outside, asked me, you know, if I needed any help. I told her who I was and told her how, you know, I've been wanting to come here. And, you know, can I go inside and see? Because it's no one's working. And she took me on a full tour.
Oh.
And that's on my Instagram on Holly's Haunts. But she did tell me that they've had so many incidences with the ghost George there. And that he was a old, he was the bookkeeper. So they don't know if he died. He died in very mysterious circumstances. They don't know if he committed suicide or he was murdered because he was supposedly embezzling all this money from illegal gambling there at the, it was called the sports, the tavern or something like that, the Sportsman Tavern. And then it went to the Captain's Anchorage. So it was like a information fest for me last Sunday, going in there and her telling me where the old, where they had the slot machines. There was even an old door that could have been like a coat check, where it was like the half of a door. They don't even make those anymore. You know which ones I'm talking about, with the top? So she was saying that that could have been the coat check. Went all around through that place. Very spooky vibes in there. The bartender has been working there for like close to 30 years. And she has encountered so many things with bottles falling or, you know, disembodied voices, footsteps, people touching you in there. She even has like a little video. I want to go up there and get that. And I want to eat there. I've never eaten there. So, but it's definitely haunted. And she's a retired sixth grade teacher. And she called George Naughty. She just kept saying what a child ghost he was and how he was naughty and he would move things and disappear things and like he's like playful. That's really neat, you know. I mean, he almost has like a personality. It's not just like you see him once in a while, like he moves things.
And when did he live? What was his period of
The 50s and the 60s. And that's when the Hollywood people were up there. And that's when a lot of the movie stars were retreating up there and going up there to gamble and spend time away. So I like to go to places that the movie stars would take off to go to. Not Hollywood necessarily, like the other places.
Yeah, the less known.
The less known places, yeah. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yes.
I know you have that Hollywood connection.
I do. And now I work in Hollywood too. So, you know, on top of being a waitress, now I'm bartending down there and schmoozing with all those people. And it's fun. It's so much fun. Yeah.
Well, let's catch up a little with you too now, Jessica.
So recently, my most latest endeavor is that I partnered with our local newspaper through CNG News, and they wanted to do a paranormal ride-along, much like what you would see, you know, with like a police officer or something along those lines. So we were able to get into one of the local breweries here in St. Clair Shores, Michigan, and took along the news crew, which was amazing, and did that investigation with them side by side. And this brewery, what's really fascinating about it is that it conveniently falls within the same like four city blocks that is like the only haunted area in St. Clair Shores, I'm convinced. I know of seven houses within like a four block radius that have similar paranormal activity. And this brewery is right at the end of one of those streets, which was really interesting. Kind of similar reports to, you know, like items moving or things falling off of the bar. They seem to think that a child runs around, kind of moves some things time to time. Folks will see shadows. The feeling of being watched, and we got to spend, you know, a slew of hours investigating that location. One thing that was really cool that happened was we sent some of the workers. So some of the bartenders joined us on the investigation because I'm a very big believer in having the people who are there often be a part of the experience and a part of the investigation, because I'm a stranger coming into that space. But if the spirits are familiar with these other people, why wouldn't I want to have them? They're with me. So some of the bartenders went into this one room that kind of made them uncomfortable. And they were saying that the temperature was dropping and all of the devices was right on par. We were having like huge temperature fluctuations, you know, anywhere from like 5 to 8 degrees, just dropping and increasing sporadically. We could kind of pinpoint to where that temperature was too, which was like a lower level. We had a very clear name of Emily come through on the spirit box a handful of times, which sounded like a young child. So perhaps it is Emily that is the younger spirit hanging out in the space. The space was always like a nightclub back from its very beginning and origin. And it's been around since like the mid 1900s. So, and it just seems like a fun place though, but I'm another person that I think that, you know, when we die, we can go where we want. And why wouldn't you want to hang out where you had all of those memories at the bar? So it was a really cool experience, and it was neat to be able to do that with a news crew alongside. So that was a lot of fun.
That's cool.
That is really cool. I love that idea of feeling it's really important and fun to include the people that are there. It's really a community building, it seems like.
Absolutely.
And I think that maybe one of the things that is nice about paranormal activity is it can be very egalitarian. Mm-hmm. You know, that in a sense, even if you have some experience, it doesn't make you the end-all expert. Of course, you know, there are people that have big egos in all fields, but but anyone can really get going on it and get investigating and things like that. Now, something you said I wanted to ask you both about, this idea of sort of clusters of hauntings. And so what do you think that's about? Do you think it's just maybe the vibe, or do you think it's related to the land, or from your own experience, what are your thoughts about that idea?
Do you want me to go first, or you want to go first, Jessica?
Oh, I could go on about that topic for a while. So if you want to start, that's probably better.
So like in, actually our friend Craig is in Old Louisville right now shooting the family feature, the ghost show with Brandon and Mustafa, who are on all those shows, right? So there's a very high concentrated of Victorians that are in that area that is very haunted neighborhood. And I'm thinking a lot of it has to do with the tragedies, the land, of course, but the things that went on with the buildings, people dying, the Victorians laid out their dead. They mourned more. There's a lot more emotion that goes into that too. I think that there would be a concentrate of just that emotion of the death and the heartache and all of that that goes along with it. So that's why that neighborhood, they say where they're at right now, where I've been to with you know, the Pink Lady and all these other beautiful homes, is haunted, and they call it America's most haunted neighborhood, you know. And then like you have places like where the Civil War took place and wars, like Gettysburg, which I have never been, but I want to go one day. But that is such a high concentrated area because of tragedy too. Mm. So I do think that that plays a huge role in it.
Mm. All right, Jessica.
For my cases that I've experienced, that always gets rooted back to the land. We're really lucky here in Michigan, where we have really wonderful historical societies, and our libraries keep paperwork and documentation of everything. And with both of my cases where I've experienced neighborhoods, you can trace it back and find out that it was owned by the same family at one point in time. Now, when we go and we try to investigate and pick what those names, sometimes we have success, sometimes we don't. Now, unfortunately, we didn't have any immediate response with the brewery that we were at just a couple weeks ago, using the names of the family that owned that land. But we did another investigation multiple years back that was located in Harrison Township, Michigan. And it belonged to the Hatzenbuehler family. And the reports there are that people are seeing children, and kids are seeing children and being woken up in the middle of the night to a little girl with a hair bow. And we went and we investigated, and we caught like what looked like a child-sized figure kind of like peeking through a door frame. And like a kid's voice saying yes when we asked if they were still there. And that is fascinating because the kids are like, it's kids that are spotted. But the history on that land is that Stephen Hatzenbuehler owned that property. And then he actually sold a portion of it to open up a school, an elementary school, which is still technically there today. Obviously, they demoed the one room schoolhouse and turned it into South River Elementary. But that school itself is reportedly haunted, and the janitors are experiencing things. So that one's really interesting because it was like a family that was really passionate about their kids, and they wanted to give back and make sure that the kids had a safe place for them to learn and for them to study and for them to grow. And the one daughter was Stella Hatzenbuehler, and there's a photo of her with this hair bow. And there's only two pictures of her that exist, and one of those photos is of her with this hair bow. And it's just really awesome to be able to go in and tie exactly this picture of this little girl to what people are seeing. But Stella, she didn't pass away when she was a child. She passed away. She lived her full life. She was one of the longest living of the siblings of her whole family. But I think she just had the most fun when she was a kid, that she just chose to go back as a kid. So she's still tromping around on her old stomping grounds of this wonderful, what used to be a farmland and schoolhouse. And the neighbors are now seeing children, but the kids are very respectful. The one house that we investigated, the mom actually like asked the kids to leave her daughter alone because her daughter had school in the morning. So she said, you know, little children, like, please let my daughter sleep. She needs to get her rest. She has to go to school in the morning. And ever since then, the kids don't enter her bedroom anymore. Mm. They're always in the hallway. And when we caught that figure on the night vision camera, it was like a white light peering in through, like, from the hallway looking into the bedroom, but it never actually came into the bedroom. It's respecting those boundaries, which is really awesome.
Mm. It seems like children have a really strong connection, and also schools, to paranormal activity, because I just watched a show where it was connected to the Zimbabwe children that saw the aliens. I forget what year, 62 kids saw aliens and UFOs in the middle of the day. And I noticed there's a lot of, like, you know, easy connection to children. And it makes sense to me because it seems to me like children are still very open to, you know, that world. And, yeah. and yet, of course, a lot of times people don't want to believe them because they think they're making things up. So there's that problem too. But it sounds like people believe them more, I think, than maybe before. Yeah. So what do you think? Wouldn't that be kind of neat to kind of just look at all the stories of children in the paranormal and hauntings? And I didn't know that. I've never heard someone coming back that died later and they come back as their child self. That's a kind of interesting angle I hadn't heard before.
And another reason why she may have chose to do that is that she knows that there are only two pictures of her that exist. You know, back then, like, this was like 1800s. This was like old. Photos were very hard to come by. It was very expensive. It was very rare to have your picture taken. Sometimes you would go your entire life and not be photographed once until your funeral.
That's right.
So, you know, maybe she wants to be recognized. That's like another theory, is that she wants to be recognized. So she's coming back in a form that she knows a picture of her exists in. You know, with that, it's one of those things. Like, we're not really certain, and we never probably in our lifetime will ever really know why. But it is very, very fascinating to be able to take that picture and to show the people after they provide that description. And they're like, yeah, that's exactly who we see.
Huh. That is really amazing. Now, I have had a friend that once asked me, it was around Halloween, is there a difference between a ghost and a spirit? And if there is, what is it? And I said, oh, that is a good question. Is there a difference in terms of what you would think a ghost is and what a spirit is? Let's start with you, Holly.
Okay, so that's the thing, is like about like poltergeist. Is there a naughty, like we were saying, George, but the Captain Anchorage, or a residual? You know what I'm saying? And there's some people that don't like that word or whatever, residual, you know, that it plays over and over again. But like, that's the only difference that I've ever read or got to research, was a ghost, a spirit is pretty much the same. But then you have the poltergeist. And I don't like to always call, a lot of people try to say they're demons, you know, religious people, all of them are demons. I don't think that either. So maybe they're all the same. They just do different things. Mm. Or maybe there are some that are more intelligent, or some that don't know they're dead, or like the suicides, the murders. Those are the tragedies that keep replaying over and over again. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think.
Mm, interesting. What about you, Jessica?
Honestly, I feel like you took the words straight out of my mouth.
Right,
like,
huh?
In my entire time of doing this, over 40 investigations, I've never once encountered anything malicious or anything evil or dark or possessive or any of that. Every time that we go, we're just talking to other people that are just in a different form than us. And I think a lot, too, is with those different traits and the different type of haunting. I think with, if it's a tragedy or a murder or suicide, there is a lot of extra baggage that goes on in situations like that, that would cause, you know, a residual type of experience, something that just repeats. And I think things like that too is going to like allow the spirit to kind of like linger a little bit more at the cemetery and things like that, because they're tied to the fact that they're dead. And I think that's kind of the really big difference. But between ghosts and spirits, to me, I think they're kind of interchangeable. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, ghost is a kind of more common term. But spirit is something that we all have. We have one right now, and it's just another type of energy. And when our bodies stop, that spirit has to go elsewhere. That energy has to transfer and never die. So that's when that spirit just goes on and moves on to the next form, whatever that form may be.
I agree.
There is, I've read a couple in a couple of books about spirit attachment. I forget the name. There is this theory that we have these, you know, different bodies according to sort of the yoga. We have the astral body, the etheric body, the physical body, and that it's, I think it's the etheric body sometimes gets left behind. This is particularly true for spirit attachments, and that is not really the person, but it's like the person. I just thought it was an interesting idea. Like there were these like, and those are the what, sort of more like the residual hauntings, the repetitive, because it, you know, if it was, it seems like if it was the full person, they might change what they do. Like you would, you know. So I thought it was just an interesting theory.
They also say about when you remodel the home, that's when they start coming through because they're not going through that, say, hallway or door or window or things are changing. Then that's, it kicks up the activity when you do remodel your home or they change anything that the ghost spirits might not be used to.
That makes sense. I mean, people makes are kind of like that too.
Yeah, no? Routine.
Changing things up, stirring it up, you know.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. I've heard that a lot, you know. Yep. Certainly David Oman has talked about that before too. So what are your thoughts, Jessica?
Yeah, I kind of had some similar experiences like that when I worked for an estate sale company. And that's like another one of those situations. That's when you're going in and you're selling somebody who is often deceased, and you're selling their belongings and you're rummaging through their stuff and you're putting price tags on their belongings and things that meant a lot for them. And there were a handful of times out of that short window that I worked for an estate sale company where my coworkers are experiencing things and we're not even trying to look for it. Things are just happening, but it's because somebody somewhere is like, whoa, what are you doing? Rummaging through my drawers? Like, no, these are my belongings. So I think the same thing, you know, if you're starting to remodel and tearing a house up, like that's going to stir the pot too. But Krista, I think what you mentioned in regards to, you know, the ethereal, like our personality, basically, you know, the rhythm and the repeating of the daily activities, like that's going to leave a mark. Like if you do those things so many times, like absolutely, I think that energy can just be stuck in that loop. And it's definitely not a conscious thing, because why would you want to do the same thing all the time?
Exactly.
You know, the conscious thing is when they're wanting to respond and they're interacting with us, and we're able to get, you know, a further conversation and, you know, have things happen on cue rather than just something being stuck in a loop. But, you know, your energy leaves a place and sometimes some of that energy is left behind.
Yeah, I think so. Yes. Now, I did want to ask you about your elevator story in the Cecil Hotel.
Okay, so I have a friend that lives there, and he's been living there for a couple months now. Oh, more than 6 months, right? His name is Greg Sama. You could find him. And I was one of the last people to come in as a guest to, I mean, we ran around there. The security guard saw me taping and was like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm talking to my mom. Like, I totally... Yeah, he was ready to kick me out. I'm like, no, I'm going up to my friend's room. Like, I'm not recording. I was. And so we get into the elevator and it breaks down. And the very first time I ever stayed at the Cecil, the elevator broke down. So it's never been repaired since then. And I've contacted
Greg. When was that, when you first went?
I went back in February. Okay. So it's still broken. Elisa Lam's elevator is still broken. And they released that movie, The Elevator Game. I wasted 2 hours of my life on that, but that's fine, you know. I went all through the Cecil. I went all the way up to where the door was, where she got out, up into. Well, what they say. There was so much controversial with that whole thing that they say she went out through a window. They say she went up through the door. No one really knows. You know, so I went all through it. I went through Richard Ramirez's floor, seen his, where is that? And the thing about the Cecil right now is Elisa Lam's, the floor she was living on, it's been taken over by gangsters. And it's scary. And there are just tons of people walking around. There's blood on the floor and the walls.
It is
scary. I mean, it's not just scary like portal to hell ghosts, it's the people that are staying there that are scary. And you could just smell the pot drifting through the halls. Not that that's a big deal, but it wasn't like that before when I went years ago to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers. So I did. I was one of the last people to ride that elevator that she was in, and they've never fixed it. So they're having everybody take the stairs right now.
Ah, that story. I mean, I wanted to ask you both about this because I never have been to the Cecil. I would always take pictures of it. I never knew it was haunted when I was taking pictures. So we go downtown and I'd be always like taking pictures of it. And I said, I always take pictures of this hotel. And I still wouldn't look into it. But when I read her story for the first time,
yeah,
there's something about some stories that she's really stayed with me.
Yeah.
And I even, I'm trying to look at her Tumblr because it's still up.
Yes.
And I was having trouble accessing it. But I find that certain, and it's not rational, certain stories just stick with you, not like a spirit haunting you, but that you're finding like you're trying to think about them and they catch you somehow. Why? And it isn't, there's other suicide stories and there's other tragic young people stories that I've read about or seen on documentaries. But have you ever had that kind of experience where something just really pulls you in and you just keep going back to it, even if you haven't been to the location?
Elisa Lam, 21-year-old Canadian student who was bipolar, that her mother and father let her come here and stay in Skid Row, which they probably advertised stay on Main as something that it's not, made it sound real good, cheap, to come out here to let your baby girl come. You know, I've got a 21-year-old. I've got a 19-year-old. I wouldn't let my children travel that far away from me, knowing what she's going through and her mental illness and what could happen to her that far. I mean, another city away, because they were, in Vancouver? So, if she went somewhere else, that would be... But coming to Los Angeles, it's sad. And then the whole thing about Christopher Dorner, you know who he was at that time. He was going around and he was shooting cops. And that's a crazy thing. I'm bringing that up because of Big Bear connection, because he's the one that held up all those people in that house. And he shot and killed that cop. We were listening to that the day that it was out on the thing. But poor Elisa Lam, we don't know what happened to her. We could sit here and speculate. The lady that was the manager just put out her book, and I'm going to go get her book. And she talks about all of her experience.
Well, maybe that's why I'm thinking about her.
She just released that, the manager from the documentary.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, and have you ever had that experience, or maybe you've been to the location that certain stories just stay with you, that you find that you, and not in a negative way, just that you remember them, that they get into your heart and maybe there's a reason or maybe not.
Yeah, for me, it's the Michigan Theater in Jackson. We were invited to investigate that with Central Michigan Paranormal, and the experiences that we had that evening is unlike anything else. It was the only time that I was genuinely uncomfortable and I felt scared, and it takes so much to scare me. I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm like a haunted house actress. It takes a lot to scare me, and I felt genuinely scared that night. And that was when we did the Estes method, and Hillary was telling somebody to just tap my arm, and I felt like I was being hunted. I sat on this stage. Nobody else is on the stage. And I just felt like somebody was getting closer to me, and I could feel vibrations, footsteps approaching me on the stage. I was so afraid at that time. And then somebody grabs my arm, and we got it on film, and there's nobody there, but they grabbed my arm where Hillary was directing them to. And after that, I wasn't afraid. But how in-depthly I remember every single emotion and feeling and smell and sound and every little tiny aspect of that entire experience is something that I will remember for the rest of my life, are these tiny little details. I could just relive it by just thinking back to that memory and have that same emotion and those same mental experiences all over again, because it was just so incredible that it was so evidential that something was in fact happening in that time. And that's the one place that keeps popping back up. If I could go anywhere in Michigan again, that's where I want to go. I want to try it again and see what happens. And that's my one place that I keep getting drawn back to.
And it does seem like some people like to go back to investigations and other people like to just kind of go to a new place all the time. So what do you like to do, Holly?
New places all the time. But then I don't feel like I get enough out of it. So then I want to go back, like the Brookdale Lodge with the little girl. I had somebody send me some video that they were working on the pool, the haunted pool, and inside where the brook falls through the restaurant. So they're fixing that. So I want to go in there and have dinner in this haunted restaurant. The whole property's haunted. Mm-hmm. My boyfriend had a really hard time sleeping. He said he's seen things in the corner. He's not sensitive. This is a 6-foot, 240-pound man. I had to get up and go. And I was like, look, there's nothing there. And he's like, I just don't feel good. But I want to go back there to the Brookdale Lodge because it was really creepy. So yeah, there's some things that I always go back to the Cecil. I always go back and photograph it. It's just so creepy to me.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't gone inside. From what you said, it sounds creepy inside because of the living people. But I found I was just kind of intrigued by the building. There's something, the building, I mean, haunted places, but the building itself intrigues me. Like, it's got its own, like, vibe. And that is one amazing thing about L.A. is the buildings talk to you all the time. And I bet a lot of them probably are haunted. That's why they're talking. But it's the thing I love about L.A. is if... whatever it is, they definitely, certain buildings have really strong presence.
I agree.
And we used to have a lot of them.
we have a lot of them. And there's, like, today I'm going to go to the Entity House after this, Barbara Hershey. She was in the Insidious. I'm obsessed with Insidious. I know you guys have been watching all my stuff. I love those movies. I love going to the haunted locations. They say they're kind of haunted. There's no real evidence, but there'll be like a little trickle here and there that people have experienced stuff on the set. I don't know if that's because of the energy that they're projecting, being on the set, being spooked out, that happens, that they're like in tune or they're hypersensitive at the time, you know? But there's always something to see.
Now, Jessica, you said very little scares you. Are you the kind of person that can go by yourself, like for instance, in a room that's very haunted and stay there and it doesn't bother you?
Mm-hmm, that is correct. Yeah, the ironic thing is I used to, when I was a child, I was afraid of everything. Everything. I wouldn't even trick or treat. That's how afraid I was. I was like the biggest chicken. It was so bad. But then I realized if I become the scary thing, I can conquer all of my fears. So that's when I started working for a haunted house. And now I can, you know, walk through forest and woods by myself at night. I can go sit alone in a room. I can go stay in a room all by myself. You know, like I said, it takes a lot to scare me. And it's very, very rare for me to even be startled at anything, really.
That's amazing that you did that 180 degree. You know, we were talking earlier about the fact that she volunteers at this haunted house and how she has these specific goals in mind when she scares people.
Okay.
So do you want to share some of your goals?
Please.
I love this part.
Because I'm scared of haunted houses. I don't like nobody coming up and I don't, because I go to the real stuff so much that I'm like, no.
My goal is I always try to get one person to cry every year and I try to get one person to
girl,
pee. I did get two people crying yesterday. I scared two people to the point where they peed. And it's really funny because they always just kind of like, I'm peeing. Like they give us like extra little bouncy jump. And that's how you know when it's real. Because if they're like, oh, I peed, like then you don't believe it. But if there's like an extra little bounce with that,
I love it. I love it so much, you guys.
Yeah. One time I actually scared a woman so bad she went into labor.
But she went through and she was already pregnant. So she, it was her own like doing. Yeah. She maybe she needed help to go into labor.
Yeah.
Isn't there like, really it funny. Says too, there's things that say that too about that, right? Yeah. I mean, it's there. Yeah. Like there's, what are they called? The, you know, you work there. What's
like what's the word for that? Like the caution, totally, like,
yeah, like be careful. Like,
don't have epilepsy.
Yes,
don't
exactly.
Have asthma. Don't have heart problems. Like
pregnancy.
Pregnant. Yeah. Right. Yeah. All of that list.
They warn you.
She was really cool about it. You know, I met her the year after and her child, which is at that point 1 year old. And she's like, you scared me so bad. I went into labor and this is my son that you helped me birth. And I'm really thankful because I wanted to get him out. And
see,
there you go.
Going,
just needed a nut.
People eat eggplant. Some people go to haunted houses. There we go.
Maybe he'll be into the paranormal too.
Yeah.
Right.
You never
new
know.
Generation.
Michael and I volunteered too, and we're dressing up as scary monsters and scare people. And I'm saying the first time I ever did it, because I'm a scaredy cat, was so therapeutic. And my goal was just to have them like fall on the ground. I mean, I didn't have such noble goals. Now I could have some new ones.
Yeah, I like these goals.
but there is something really fun about it. You know, and then obviously normally people that go into the haunted house, they want to have that scary experience.
Yes.
You know, that's part of what they enjoy doing. You know,
yes.
It's cathartic and it's fun because you can be different kinds of characters too. I think there's a lot of variety and creation you can do. Now, another interesting question. Now, I don't know if either of you ever seen any spirits or you even know about this idea, but I can't remember which is which. But someone told me once that there's a difference between if you see a full-bodied ghost and a body that's halfway up, that one is more like comfortable and one is still kind of like not quite passed over, but they were like two different kinds of ghosts. And I wish I could remember which was which. And it was from somebody that I kind of trusted. And I wonder, have you ever heard that theory?
No.
About the, you know, half of a ghost or full-bodied apparition
or a head,
yeah, or a torso. In all of your paranormal experiences, have you heard anything? You said you haven't. What about you, Jessica?
I haven't heard anything in regards to those theories either. I feel like both are a lot less common than media and, you know, paranormal TV shows kind of lead you to believe. I think, like, my experience, at least with that, is that, like, when Hillary or myself would see or have, you know, the experience of like a partial type of apparition, usually it was kind of more of a residual type of experience. The one time that I did see a full body apparition, it acknowledged me. It looked right at me. My car headlights reflected off of his glasses. And that was like a full blown body apparition. Like I could not see through this person. And then I turn around and they're completely gone. There's nothing there. And they interacted. They could see me too. You know, perhaps maybe that was some sort of like weird time slip where like that person was like, whoa, what is this car? And I was like, whoa, what is that person doing wearing like 1800 period clothing walking around at 2 o'clock in the morning with a lantern? Like I was like,
ooh.
So I don't know if it was some sort of like weird time glitch when I had that experience. But the only time I saw a full body apparition, it acknowledged me, it looked right at me, and my headlights reflected off of their glasses.
Now I remember it was one is at peace and one is not. I would think it might be the full bodied apparition would be at peace. That would make sense. But I forget which one it was. It was from these older women that were psychic, came to a friend of mine, and they said one of them represents a spirit at peace and one, I don't know, that just jogged my memory.
That would make sense because the one I saw was a Civil War soldier and you only could see him from the half up. Mm-hmm. And you could see the bayonet, the buttons, the hat, and he was walking straight into a building. Mm. So, and I mean, he was translucent, but I could see him. But he didn't know, he didn't recognize me or nothing like that. He was from like a little bit of a field, but he was there.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, no, I've always thought about that for some reason since I heard. I just wish I know which was which, but I think it's the full bodied is more at peace.
Now,
I happen to be reading this book about death by Alice Bailey, the esoteric woman who wrote like 1919, 1949. These really, they are very esoteric books, but this is about death and it's a compilation of different articles. And there's something really interesting she predicts that you'll be interested in. She's also saying in this book that eventually death isn't going to be a big deal. And that she said that within the next couple hundred, because we're going to understand that people don't really die. But she says that there's going to be a discovery in the field of photography that will prove survival. This is within the next 200 years. So that's, cool. I guess, within when she's writing. And then the other thing that's I think is already happening through the use of the radio by those who have passed over, will communication eventually be set up and reduced to a true science. And I do think it's the vocal part that will eventually be likely to prove it and be more accurate. So I thought it was really kind of cool because this was written somewhere between 1914 and 1949.
Well, that's what we all talk about. We all want to phone to heaven. We want to, when we're sitting there and you lose your parents, you lose everybody, you're like, oh, I want to tell them. Oh, I got to say, because that's what you think of. You want to talk to them. There's nobody else. It's the ones that are gone. So like if they could prove it to a science, and you know, that's what we do. We play with spirit boxes. We try to get that through. So that totally makes sense.
Yeah, I was just excited that came through more of the esoteric world, the whole radio thing. What do you think, Jessica?
Yeah, I think that's actually really beautiful to look at it that way and to see how far things have come since that book was published, and to see how far things have come from the origin of us forming, you know, Mystic Mitten back in 2017 versus now in technology and developing. And I think that that would be really beautiful for there to be like an actual hard science. And I think that that would, in long term, make people more okay with dying, because we know that there is life after death. We know that this isn't just the end for us. You know, when I lost my mom, I had experiences that were solid proof to me that I know I'm going to see her again. And, you know, those experiences are a lot less now, but I still know that she's like there. I know that she's still watching me. And I think it's okay to just talk out loud, even though you might feel crazy. Like, you can talk out loud to spirits, whether they be your loved ones or somebody that you think might be haunting your business or your house. Like, just talk out loud. That's fine. Like, you feel crazy at first, but you feel so much better when you're able to like actually project that into the universe. And I think that that would absolutely make people find more peace. And when it comes to death, if there is some sort of solid scientific proof that a non-believer would 100% believe. And I think that's incredible. And I would absolutely think that that is possible within the next 100, 200 years.
Right.
I was wondering too, I mean, it seems like you could use your own technology for communicating with people that just passed in your own world. And there's, of course, an interest in going to places that are haunted. But I'm wondering if we could sort of have also that angle where we start using some of this, everything we use, to current people that have just died and families. And if you could, you know, have sort of like a technical seance.
Yeah. And closure. And people want closure sometimes, and we need that. And as humans, like that, I'm exactly on the same page as you. I don't want to believe that it just goes black and we're done. There's proof that that is not true. People do go on. There's another plane. I don't know if that's heaven. I don't know if that's hell. There's some proof of this already.
Yeah, I think there's enough. I mean, from being a tarot card reader for so long, there's enough anecdotal evidence from centuries to know that there's something that happens. The mechanism and how it all happens and where they all go, that's a lot of theory, it seems like.
Right.
You know, but I think that you just can't discount it. You know, people that do, I think they're very small in the percentage of humans at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree. I think that it is a lot more common now for people to have a better understanding and acceptance of life after death, and being open to talking about the paranormal and about spirits, and it's more accepted just generally across the board, which is amazing, and I'm absolutely here for it.
Yep, me too.
So how do you think it will be for you folks, let's say in the next 10 years? Do you have a sense of what direction you're going with your own interests? Do you have any ideas of what could happen based on your own experiences? Let's start with you here, Holly.
I'm just going to keep doing what I've always been doing, going to different haunted places, working with people with true credentials, not the fakes, not the people that are only in it for to get fame or to get famous or to get followers. I want evidence. We want to go to places and find out what's really going on. That's what I'm about. I see women, us girls sitting right here, we are not playing in the big boy world. There's a lot of men in this field. So we're the ones that got to break through and say, hey, we've got a hand in this. We're not out there showing just to get on TV or to get on things. We're bringing scientific proof. We're bringing our opinions and what we think, and give us a chance too. You know, because I think that there's a lot of women out there that give us true women paranormal investigators a bad name by only showing TNA. That's not what it's about. We need to, like, you know, just all come together in that and back each other up. That's what I think.
Yeah,
I'm going to keep doing this.
That's still true. You know, that's why we like having you on the show too. We try to promote women, and of course, you know, the feminine macabre. That Amanda Woolmer is really big on that with her publication.
That's right.
Which, by the way, congratulations.
Yes,
you had an article in it, Jessica, in the last...
Thank you so much.
Was it before? The fourth volume you had an article?
The fourth volume, yes, that is correct, yes.
But so what do you think in terms of, you know, where you see yourself going based on what you're doing now? Do you have any ideas, a vision of the future yourself with the paranormal?
So my main thing is I look at myself as almost like a paranormal counselor of sorts. So I have been doing library presentations. I basically double year after year as to how many libraries sign up for me to come and speak to people. And my main goal is to make the paranormal more normal. And I want people to feel comfortable talking about their experiences. I want people to feel comfortable sharing those experiences. And I want people to feel comfortable living with the spirits and living simultaneously and kind of making that peace between our realm and theirs. And that is my end goal. And I feel like I've done a fantastic job with that. I'm really excited to see all of the other cases and people both living and deceased that I'm able to assist here going forward. I also agree with Holly in regards to females making our name here and known for the paranormal community as well. We are more welcoming. We have that maternal instinct. We're easy to talk to. We're more approachable. And I think all of these things that are, they ultimately just make us really great investigators and really good and have that empathy and compassion and understanding that we take into these investigations, which, you know, from my experience, doesn't necessarily always happen with other paranormal investigation groups that tend to often be more male-led.
Aggressive.
I think that is going to help us go leaps and bounds. We're going to be able to capture a lot more evidence just because we're more empathetic and understanding.
Agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think that women are definitely make themselves known in like the research of people doing paranormal, but not on sort of mainstream TV yet. And I think that's just a matter of time. I mean, it's just going to happen at some point because mm-hmm. there's just going to be enough women that can make that happen too.
Yeah.
And it is unfortunate that there is a sort of formula on TV, you know, with the ghost hunting. But at the same time, they did help to open it up. So it's mm-hmm. one of those things mm-hmm. you do have to appreciate what is contributed by that. But it is a kind of curious thing that there's a stereotype of the women are the mediums on the show,
yes.
even though they do have men mediums and not as much of women investigators. So it is a little odd when you think of, oh my mm-hmm. God, so many women that have been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, not just a few years.
Yeah.
So, but that's going to happen, I think. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, time, I would say probably.
I would
see that in the next 5 years even.
Yeah. We got to just keep going.
Yes.
Keep doing what we're doing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know you both really enjoy what you're doing too. And that's a big part of any kind of success if you're following your passion in life, you know,
that's
overall.
Right. And it's not just a hobby, Mom, right? We love it.
Exactly.
We love it.
So even though October is paranormal month for some people, for you folks, it's every day of the year.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think the other thing I was sort of thinking about overall is how has this affected you? Maybe it hasn't. Maybe from the very beginning you've sort of felt you've had certain theories about death. Do you feel you've gone through sort of any kind of stages about your understanding about death yourself? It seems like you're both comfortable talking about it, but have there been any sort of different phases as you go along? Like with you, Holly, have you noticed any sort of progression?
Yes. I mean, I'm getting, sometimes I have to step back just a little bit with all the investigation because I'll dream and it'll be like tragedy dreams or I'm following so much stuff that I'm getting scared in my dreams. I'll have nightmares when I'm full blown watching YouTubes, other people doing this, what they're talking about, reading, researching. It gets to me a little bit. I have to take a little step back and then I go right back to it.
Mm. What do you do to just get out of it? Do you
I just don't think about it. Just go to work. Just clean my house, do laundry, go shopping. I mean, honestly, I just don't delve into it for a little bit. And this can only be like a week or two because every week I'm going to something new. Mm-hmm. Every couple weeks I'm trying to find what else is new, what is haunted. But I just have to kick back a little bit on it when it becomes, when they're really tragic. Because then I start dreaming.
Mm.
That's how it affects me. It doesn't affect me in this. It affects my dreams. It affects that when I'm waking up like, oh, why am I dreaming of that?
That's amazing.
You know? Yeah.
Interesting. What about you, Jessica?
For me, I feel like investigating is more of an outlet. You know, I have like a Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 type of job. And this is just kind of something that I do to like keep my life interesting. You know, I've always been a person that have been extremely passionate about whatever sort of crazy wild dream that I've been chasing. And, you know, I put in all of my effort into it. And this has just become a really great outlet for me to focus my energy and my time on helping people and, you know, and kind of being that open door, that comfortable place for people to share their stories and to assist with. I will say, you know, like in regards to like different transitions, when my mom passed, I have a completely different understanding now of every single aspect of death than when I did prior. You know, I've obviously have lost other family members and friends that I was extremely close to, but my mom was my best friend. She did everything with me. And to experience those different stages when it's somebody that you are so attached to, you have a different understanding of everything, even the funeral side of things. And, you know, having a broader knowledge about mortuary science than the average person, you know, I think kind of helps process things a little bit different. But that was definitely kind of a turning point for me, was losing my mom.
Yeah, that totally makes sense, because you were so close to her too. And there is something very archetypal about the death of a mother, based on my experience when my mom died suddenly. And then on the journey up to Sonoma where she lived, I, of course, very synchronistically just kept meeting people who had already lost their mothers.
Right.
No big surprise, really. But it was interesting what an impact they had over, like, the father, who one fellow said, I did love my father too, but it was something about the mother, maybe because they give birth to you, you know. And so I thought that was a really interesting experience of people just automatically sharing,
yeah,
you know, their own experiences of losing their mother at a different age, two different ways. And it made me realize it's such a powerful archetype.
Yeah. My grandmother raised me, and my mother died suddenly in Baldwin Park, and they had to autopsy her. They didn't know how she died. They had to do a whole thing. She became homeless at the end of her life. We were estranged. My grandmother raised me. She died very sudden too. Then my grandpa followed her. So I'm an orphan, like no mom, no dad, no nothing, you know. And mom, when she died, that was just surreal. I was 6 months pregnant with my son. Mm-hmm. And then, like, we had to go to the LA County Coroner's office. They did not make me identify her, thank God. They made my ex-husband at the time, because I was like, no, that's tragic. Like, I don't want to see that, you know? But everything, like you said, the funeral business, all these things that you learn when you go through this, how it goes. By my third with my grandfather, was like, I was a pro at this. I was like, oh, this is what we do. This is how we do it. You know, he's at home. I have my mom and my grandpa at home. I buried my grandmother, though, up in Rose Hills. So
That's a very good point. That is part of the journey of anyone interested in paranormal. And so when my grandmother died, she is the only relative I saw her dead body. She'd been in the hospital for a while, and I wanted to see her. It was a very good experience, because it was so obviously not her. Like, I was just like, she's gone. I mean, it was, and again, she was, it wasn't like, I don't know if I'd want to look at an accident or murder, but, you know, she was in, we knew she was dying from cancer, and I'd been there off and on all week. And so it was helpful to see. I think it's good for everybody at some point to see a dead body of someone at least they have some connection to, because it makes it more like, wow, there is a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The soul.
Yeah. What Absolutely. Something is missing, a big something.
Yep.
And of course, pets can do that for people too. That's why pets are good for children. They can have an experience of life and death at an early age that's natural. And that's one of the things I think, especially if you're like a hamster or something, they don't live that long anyway, and they could die of old age, and it's just 2 or 3 years or something.
Yeah.
But that's a good point, how that's all part of the experience of the paranormal. And the other thing I wanted to just mention was, it does seem like library talks are good for paranormal people. I've seen that on other people's pages. It seems like it's a very friendly way to connect to the community.
That's cool.
Yeah, you were saying that.
We have done fantastic. You know, it's great. Now it's just me going, and I drag my husband along as my like IT tech guy to get everything all set up. But it's so positively received. I actually received a really genuine, nice comment from somebody who attended my last one that was last week. And they just said, you know, thank you so much for coming and for your professionalism and for making me feel comfortable and giving me a better idea of understanding of the paranormal. And that right there is why I do it. And, you know, I have 4 library presentations set for this October, which is amazing. That's the most that I've ever had. And every single time people come up to me afterwards and thank me and share me like their stories and want my opinion on things. And it just becomes a really safe space for people. Mm-hmm. And they are so interested. And every time that I go, we're pulling out more chairs. It's a full house. You know, that's they'll cool. be like, oh, we have 40 people set up. So we've got our 40 chairs. And then the next thing you know, 10, 15 more people show up. So it's a full house. It's been very successful. You know, it's just something that I like to do to get out there and to have that extra outreach and make a difference in somebody's life, even though, you know, some of these people I might not ever hear from again. But I like to think that I made a difference in their life in regards to their opinion
you
and
do.
Aspect of the paranormal.
You do.
Thank you.
Yeah, you
absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just the idea that it's a safe space where people can even like go and share some stories too. And not everybody has that, to tell you the truth.
No. It's like AA for the paranormal world.
Exactly.
They're coming out. And I just see that, but you're like, here, let me get you some coffee. You have those people smoking outside. I mean, it's a community. It is what it is. People need this. And that's great that you're doing that. You know?
Thank you.
Well, I like the idea of normalizing paranormal, but I don't like that word normal in general.
Yeah.
Making it part of life, that life and death are together dancing all the time. And there's different, you know, there's all kinds of also death that happens that isn't like the whole physical body, that
right.
if we can get comfortable with that concept on some level, and maybe the paranormal can help with that as well.
I agree.
You know, with just any kind of a loss. So, but yeah. I just noticed like, wow, that is a really cool idea. And that libraries are so open to it too, it seems like.
Yeah, they love it. Like I said, like, this is the most that I've ever done. And word just keeps getting out about how positively well it's been received. You know, I offer a few different options. One is just kind of like general ghost stories of Michigan. One is a little bit more focused on investigations that I've done with evidence clips. And then another one is like ghost hunting 101. So it's just kind of like the basics, education, you know, how to approach an investigation and the how to's.
That sounds wonderful.
It's great.
So we're getting close to the end of the show. Is there like maybe a last thought you wanted to share, Holly, about any topic paranormal related?
You know, it's just, it's great that it's spooky season again. I wish it would get cooler here in LA. I'd like to share that. It's hot. And that sucks
because
I want it to be fall already. That would be cool. But yeah, we're just going to keep doing this. I'm into that whole the horror movies right now. Going to the movie locations and doing that. And then I am planning to go up to in the beginning of the year, and then I'll come back on to finally get to Portland and Washington and go to all those haunted places and go see like Kurt Cobain's bench and all the music involved. Cause you know, I'm a big music person that always ties it. So that's what that's what I'm looking forward to.
That sounds really wonderful.
Yeah. That's going to be great for me. I've been trying to get up there for years.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. Anything else you wanted to share too, Jessica?
I think that if anybody is listening, if there's something that you have been thinking about doing, or you've been interested in exploring the paranormal, to just get out and just do it. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing holding you back is yourself. And once you get out there and you break past that one boundary, you can accomplish anything that you set your mind to if you just put your mind on things that you're passionate about following.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
I think that's wonderful for both of you. Now, both of you are on our website contact information. If anybody wants to contact Holly, or we always keep your information, like maybe somebody's interested in going to one of your library talks or maybe see your photographs, Holly, on Instagram.
Yes.
So make sure to check out our website. We always keep all the information there. And I want to thank you both for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
It's been a lot of fun as always. And it's helped to launch off our Paranormal October,
yay,
I think, in a really good way. So thanks again for coming on. And thank you all for listening in.
Thank you.
And we hope that you have a wonderful, spooky October and you're getting ready to celebrate Halloween like we are too. So tune in next time as we continue to explore the esoteric and the obscure together. Have a spooky week.
Yeah. Spooky year.
Yeah, spooky year.